an altar to an unknown God. Such a solemn, yet beautiful way to describe the human situation with God. Though Paul is criticizing the Athenians for this particular altar, he neglects to see the great wisdom of viewing God in this way, a way that enabled them and us to be open to Paul's teachings. Look around you. Take a good, hard look. What do you hear? What do you see? Let me tell you what I notice. Our liturgy, our theology, our doctrine, all of it surrounds and guides us in this worship service that we hold each Sunday. Each week we read from our Book of Common Prayer, following the prescribed methods to worship God, using the same images for God week after week, day after day, as if we have it all figured out. We trick ourselves into believing that we have a complete understanding of who or what God is. But do we? I wonder. Though our rituals and traditions give us a comfortable view to view and worship God, do they not also limit us in developing a deeper sense of the nature of God? In essence, by clinging solely onto our traditions and rituals, have we not placed God into a box, one where we can turn to one another and say, "That is God, nothing more and nothing less"? Paul warns us of this human tendency of ours this morning. Yet, in the moment he warns us of our fallibility, he quickly points to us to where he understands God to preside. Listen closely to what he presents to us this morning. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and, perhaps, grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. What powerful language Paul uses in this passage. Such depth and reflection goes into what Paul spoke. But even he falls prey to the human tendency we all have, placing God in a box, shown through his own limited expressions that describe the Almighty Creator. What then does this passage have for us? What can we learn from the phrase, an altar to an unknown God? One thing we can take away from this phrase is the knowledge that God is beyond our full comprehension. No matter how hard we try to discern the completeness of God, we will always fall short due to our own flaws, flaws that we are born with, flaws that we are raised by and develop on our own. Think about it. For the past 30 or so years, we have been told by the church that God is beyond all knowing and comprehension, a being that is beyond gender, race, sexuality, social class, language, etc. Yet though the church tells us this, what do we experience in our liturgy, our prayers, our doctrine? What many truly experience in the church is all of which the church proclaims that God is beyond. Most times, we see the church focusing on masculine language to describe God. We are raised subconsciously to view God as one of our own in ethnicity. We are brought up to think of God as an adult rather than a child, able-bodied rather than what our society has labeled as disabled. We grow up to think that our money is important to God, and it goes on and on and on. Instead of broadening our horizons, challenging us to ask questions that might be uncomfortable, yet imperative to our growth with God, many in the church are taught to believe one idea of God, one idea of Jesus, one way to worship, one way to interact with the divine. Though our traditions give us great insight into important aspects of God, by only focusing on our historical traditions, we become blinded to the infinite ways that God appears in creation. This leaves us with a false sense of comfort, a false comfort of who or what we perceive God to be. Rather than devoting our time, our worship, and our lives to the exploration of the great creation that can provide us with so much knowledge about God, we become complacent, stuck in our ways, unable to see God outside of the box we have all constructed around this being we label God. It is this openness to grow in our understanding that we find in our gospel reading today. In this passage, Jesus demonstrates the infinite forms God can and does take in creation. Listen closely to the words he offers to the disciples. "I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." Upon first hearing this passage, it may be hard to grasp the significance of what Jesus is actually saying. However, when read intentionally, it can uncover an immense love God shows to all creation and gives us all a small clue on how to begin our journey discovering God. Let's parse out our gospel reading, focusing first on the beginning. "In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Do you hear the connection? What Jesus is telling the disciples, and through this story, us, is that God and us are one. We have to start no further on our journey to understand the completeness of God than by examining ourselves. Are we not a part of God's creation? Did not God create each and every one of us intentionally and as God saw fit to have us be? Of course God did. God doesn't make mistakes. We are an intentional part of that creation, a creation that God poured out of God's own being, leaving a part of the divine in all that was created, including ourselves. We begin our discovery of God by discovering ourselves. Then we move to the end portion of what Jesus says. "They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them." They who have my commandments and keep them. You know, throughout the entire ministry of Jesus, he only gives us one commandment to follow: to love one another as we love ourselves, a simple reiteration of the greatest commandment God ever gave to the Jewish people. Now, if we understand the first part of this passage to be true, that we all have a part of God in us, making us part of the divine, then by loving one another, we're loving God. Fascinating how that happens, isn't it? To love ourselves and to love all those around us is to love God. What a concept it is that Jesus is presenting to the disciples in this story. Now, how many of us were raised in the idea to love others as we love ourselves? I would venture to say that just about everyone in the sanctuary was raised with that lesson in their ear. Yet, how many of us actually follow through with it? Yes, it is easy enough to be respectful and courteous to those around us, but to love them? What about those individuals who have hurt us immensely, caused us great pain? Or how about those individuals that we don't really understand, nor do we really want to? Do we love them? What does it mean to love, anyways? I have a thought. Love is not just respecting another individual, showing acts of kindness or forgiveness, nor is it just being a friend, though all of these aspects play into the definition of love. I would define love to mean looking beyond ourselves, to take the time to truly listen to another individual, to listen to their life story, including their struggles, their hardships, their pains, their joys, the happy moments in their lives, all of it. Love means leaving ourselves behind for a moment to look at the world through the eyes of another. In my opinion, that is what true love is, and is the love that God proclaims that we not only give to ourselves, but to the entire world. And if this is how God calls us to love one another, how can we do that if we confine God to our own individual boxes? I said before that to begin on our journey to understand the completeness of God, we need to go no further than examining ourselves. That still stands true. That is the beginning of our path. However, if God calls us to love all of creation as we love ourselves, then we must not stop our journey after our own self-reflection. We must then move outside of our own lives and our own experiences and reach out to the rest of creation. This means releasing God from the boxes we have constructed, opening our hearts and our minds to see God through the eyes of another. God calls us to step into the lives of those who are vastly different from us, who understand the world from a completely different point of view. Imagine just how many different points of view there are in our world. Just think on it for a second. How many do you think there are? Over 7 billion, and that's just humanity. That doesn't take into account all the many animals, birds, fish of the sea, plants, or microorganisms that God created. Are you getting the picture of how diverse God can be? This is God's way of showing us just how infinite God truly is, and how diverse God can appear throughout creation. By teaching us to love, God is pointing towards the path of understanding, the path that we will always be journeying on, the path that leads to God. An altar to an unknown God. Perhaps that is the idea of God that we should always keep in our minds. As we all are a part of God, and God is a part of all of us, it is impossible to know God in entirety. Therefore, instead of growing comfortable with the narrow ideas of God we hold, perhaps God wants more from us. Perhaps God wants us to love creation, to look beyond ourselves and become lost in the infinite ways God appears in the world. Perhaps what God is calling us all to do is to love. Love God as God is, and to actively seek out where God may appear in the world. In the name of the unknowable God, amen.